This is Matt Long with your weekly update on the happenings in our state capital. Our Texas legislature meets once every 2 years for 140 days. The 89th legislative session began on Tuesday, January 14th, and will conclude on Monday, June 2nd. These updates will be biased. My work at the Capitol is to promote conservative principles. I will freely criticize bills and legislative behavior that goes against the founding principles of these United States. On Thursday of this past week, the Texas House met on the floor, yes, to consider the budget that was created in the Senate. Unlike the federal government, the Texas legislature takes turns creating the budget. This year, the budget was created by the Senate. Since Texas legislature only meets once every 2 years, the budget covers a 2-year period. Lots of background before we get to last Thursday. Texas has a statutory limit on the budget. It cannot go higher than the increase in population and inflation. The budget is not the only way Texas can spend money. A joint resolution can create a bill to be voted on by citizen that spends money not on the budget. Texans will be voting on such issues this coming November. It is important to note that the legislature does not need to spend all the increase created by population and inflation. It seems that they always push the budget as far as possible and then tell us that they followed the law. They could eliminate waste, fraud, and abuse and therefore lower the burden on taxpayers. Texas does now have a DOGE committee. So far, nothing useful has come from this committee. It could still happen. We just need to wait and see. Texas also has a sunset committee that is supposed to evaluate and eliminate, if necessary, agencies or programs that are not meeting their expectations. All of the aforementioned methods for reducing the tax burden on Texans seems to not be very effective. On Thursday, the House passed the largest budget in the history of the state. A handful of Republicans, 21 to be exact, disagreed with this budget and voted against it, as did two Democrats. There were nearly 400 amendments pre-filed to be heard and debated on the floor. The majority of those amendments were placed in a package without debate and then put into Title 11 of the budget. Title 11 is where amendments go to die. It is often called the wish list, and those items will be used as negotiation tools in the conference committee. Since the House made numerous changes to the Senate budget, it will need to go back to the Senate and ask them to concur with the House budget. It is extremely unlikely that the Senate will do so. This means that the House will send 5 members and the Senate will send 5 members to negotiate the final budget. This is how it works in theory. However, in the past, when this has happened, as it does nearly every session, the actual negotiations will take place in secret between the two leaders of the conference committee. There will probably be a formal meeting of the conference committee, but the details will have already been hammered out, and the conference committee, well, they will just sit down and approve it. So much for transparency. The largest budget in the state history will actually be finalized by 2 people and then sent to the 2 chambers where there will be an up and down vote. No amendments will be allowed. These are not the Republicans you are looking for. Meanwhile, across the Pink Dome, the Senate was hard at work without the shenanigans of the House. In 2018, the federal government chastised Texas for its lack of funding and programs for special needs students. Since then, Texas has begun to step up their responsibilities for these students. The Senate passed SB 568. Lieutenant Governor Patrick made the following statement on Senate Bill 568. He said, Senate Bill 568 would move from a model in which schools receive extra money based on where a student receives services to one in which the money is based on actual services provided regardless of the location. The current system weights funding amounts based on whether a student receives services in the classroom, at home, in a dedicated special ed classroom, or institution. The new model would weight based on services and the intensity of the services provided across 8 tiers that range from simple speech therapy to full residential placement. Betancourt said this will direct money to where it is needed, regardless of where services are provided. He said, we're making a transformative step for special education across the state. This is something that 775,000 children in the state could use now. The Senate also passed a very beneficial bill for small businesses. SB 32 will allow businesses a tax credit of 20% of their inventory. The same bill will also create an exemption for up to $2,500 of business personal property. Small business owners are celebrating this bill, even though they wish it was more relief. Let's hope the House does not mess this one up.
Ha ha.